Hopewell Elementary. All board members are present, and Superintendent Davis and Jared Black, the business administrator. We will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we will go ahead to the Eagle Scout project for Ken and Sharp. It's a little bit scary, isn't it, to come up in the front here?
They're all nice, just talk to them.
Make sure they're there. We hate being up here too.
Yeah.
So my name's Ken Sharp, and I've been working on the Eagle Scout project, kind of getting ready, and I've got this idea that Cleveland Town through CVSSD is planning on widening the road 100 South in Cleveland, and it's on those maps. And the school district owns the property adjacent to the city street. And in this process, the existing crabapple trees are going to be removed. And the new retaining wall structure and fence will be constructed at the property line, which is approximately where the line of trees currently is. And CVSSD and Cleveland Town will supply a new secondary connection to the school district for this property. And for my Eagle Scout project, I have acquired prices for 15 new trees to replace the ones being removed. And I'll haul the trees to the site and plant them for my project. And I have went to Ward's Landscaping and got the quotes on the trees and species and stuff. And I'm asking the school district board for funding to purchase the trees. And here's pictures of the trees.
So what kind of trees are you planting?
Flowering trees.
Are they flowering pear? Oh, nice. Those are pretty.
Crab apple and pear.
Yeah.
And cherry.
Those crab apple trees are, they're horrible.
Flowering pear, flowering cherry.
So what's the cost of it?
The ones we're getting is the ones on flowering cherry tree, and so it's $134. And the Canada red chokeberry is $130. And bring 15 total.
How much total? I'm sorry.
15 total trees. It's going to come down to about $2,000.
Okay.
So have you checked to be sure the flowering cherries do well in our soil? Our alkaline soil?
No.
I know the pears do, but I'm a little concerned about the cherries, just for what it's worth. I would be sure I checked.
Everything grows in Cleveland.
Except you.
Well, that is discussed. We got a recommendation from the landscape.
Okay, from where?
The landscape.
Recommendations from the landscape, the Ward's Landscaping. So they
well, if they've
kind of recommended the different brands. So we think so, yes, based on what they said.
Okay.
What about watering them afterwards? Will they be included in the sprinkling system?
Yeah.
Okay. So you wouldn't have to have any watering?
Additional
maintenance. Okay. That's good to know.
Sounds like a winner to me.
Sounds like a good plan. Yeah. That's nice that you'd plant them.
Is that something we're planning on doing anyway? I mean, where are we going to replace
the
trees?
The road project we've been looking at for over a year now.
Yeah, I knew that.
And we didn't discuss replacing the trees, but I know we discussed it was sad to take those trees out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is an excellent project to replace those.
And one of these is a crabapple again? Do we want to replace? Is that a non-all fruit producing?
Trees, so they're all fruitless.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the fruitless ones are.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think it's a great project.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
No, originally the junior high had crab apples that had fruit.
We used to have them there too.
Did you, and then you got rid of them?
They're the worst.
Because of the crab apples, though.
Because of the crabby principle.
Crabby too.
So is it?
Crab apple fights didn't go very well.
Yeah, it's on the agenda.
It's hard to get kids to throw in crab apples.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're okay to make a decision on it.
Okay, all right.
We answered our base.
Go ahead with it.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed?
And good luck.
Good luck, thank you for doing that, that's a good project.
Awesome.
Do you want those back?
Hope you have lots of help.
Thanks. Way to thank you.
Thank you.
Good project.
Good job, by the way.
Do we need Canyon?
Mr. Black here, or?
Yeah.
When you get ready, Canyon, to go ahead with that, give me a call.
All right.
And then we'll get things arranged, okay?
Okay.
Our next action, board action, are the consent items, the warrants and the minutes and financial reports for 2018, April 2018 meeting. Any discussion?
I move that we approve them as presented.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
Yes, I sent out an updated list, and it needs to be updated further. Things are pretty dynamic right now, things are happening pretty fast, but I am recommending the following hires for Emory School District. Bridget Meadows, Green River High School cheer coach. Christina Knight, Green River High School cheer coach. Cody Caldwell, Canyon View Middle School assistant cheer coach. Dave Justice, Emory High School full-time resource teacher. Dane Werwood, Canyon View Middle School and Emory High School full-time CTE teacher. Deanna Maxfield, Cottonwood Elementary part-time custodian. Danielle Service, Castledale Elementary part-time custodian. And I would add the name Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E, Warwood, W-O-R-W-O-O-D, as band instructor at Canyon View Middle School. That took place just before the meeting.
Oh, great. What CTE courses is Dane Warwood teaching? Do you know? I just have a question about that.
Yes, he's going to be teaching robotics at Emory High, engineering at Emory High, some of the construction classes at Emory High, and then he'll be doing the CTE trimester rotation shop classes at the middle school.
Great.
Did I get them all, Jed?
Perfect.
On Kelly Warwood, did you say full-time or part-time on that one?
That's full-time. It will be full-time band, but she'll also be teaching two additional classes to be named later.
Okay.
And she's replacing Reed Felberg. And that is Dennis Werwood's daughter-in-law.
Right.
So.
She's not married to Dane?
She is married.
Darren.
Darren.
Darren, okay. Okay, any discussion on those?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, any opposed? Let's go to the principal's report. Oh, did we not have any, was that, sorry, was that on the new one?
Do you want to do that now?
Yeah.
Lance Dress?
We have one item, I don't know if I saw it.
Yeah, I just didn't get it replaced in my thing here, so.
Hang on.
Hold on just a minute, you're okay.
Reprieve for a second.
Yes. I apologize for not getting these land trust plans to you in time to read prior to this meeting. We do have to get them approved. The deadline, the state deadline, is before our June meeting. I did put a copy of those land trust plans on your tables. And I also created a summary sheet of what those plan goals are. And I can go through those quickly without going through every plan. Book Cliff Elementary has a goal of additional structured time for language arts, math, science, and fine arts. They want to dedicate more time, create more time for those specific areas, and by adding technology and some programs, they'll be able to do that through Lamb's Trust. Canyon View Junior High, their goals include a focus on at-risk students via tutoring aids and trackers, tiered reading program, that would be to identify struggling readers and provide the help they need to improve their reading up to and beyond grade level. After-school homework class and implement blended learning. That's integrating technology with traditional effective teaching methods. Castledale, use of student data to drive instruction. That includes such things as incorporating school city data platform, as well as the addition and sustaining the technology that's already in place here at Castledale. Cleveland is looking to improve math, writing, and reading proficiency. The funding will go towards programs to advance those goals. Cottonwood Elementary, use of student data to drive instruction. That is similar to Castledale's plan, but they also have improvement in reading and vocabulary skills as targeted areas. Emory High, upgrade technology, support and increase concurrent enrollment, CTE classes, STEM ed classes, and pathways, and to improve standardized test scores. Farron Elementary has a goal to build classroom libraries, increase the reading materials there, provide instructional technology, increase hours for class size reduction aids, fund professional development opportunities for their teachers. At Green River High School, support for School City data platform, replacement of Chromebooks, motivational speakers, enhance school culture relevant to problems with antisocial behavior, teacher professional development where needed, support course broadcast from Emory High to Green River High School, that's technology purchases, and build relationships between teachers and parents. And then on the flip side, we have Huntington Elementary, supplement and add Title I services through additional aid time, and support School City and other programs and software. And then San Rafael Middle School, purchase time for aid to do tracking and tutoring for struggling students, grow and support technology, and buy preps for two teachers to minimize class size. So those are summaries of the goals. The plans also go into specific budgets to advance those goals. And I've read through these. I went through the first time, did some editing, went back in, made some changes, and I am prepared to recommend that the board approve these Lamb's Trust plans. I would, one other thing, knowing that you haven't read through these, if you do have questions, when you have a chance to go through them, please give me a call and I can address those. If it's something minor, I still have a few days that I can make those changes. If it's something significant, then we can bring that back in for board consideration.
And the community councils also?
Community councils have approved those, yes,
all right,
in each school.
Okay.
I move that we approve them as they've been presented.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Okay.
So when do we need to talk with you? When do they have to be submitted?
Before May 20th.
Thank you.
Well, welcome again. Got to start out the school year, and end out the school year at Castledale Elementary. So we welcome you here again, and we appreciate you being here. This year we've continued our Reaching for the Stars, which was our theme. Our students have continued earning warm fuzzies to fill our bucket with their positive actions and their behavior, both social and academic. So I've had a lot of students who visited my office with positive office referrals. I get to visit with them about the awesome things they're doing and give them a high five or a fist bump, sometimes both. I think we've had a couple of hip bumps too. Little kids love to add a few things on. And then they got a star bracelet to remind them to reach for the stars. And then we mail the positive office referral home to their parents so their parent can see. We think it's a good idea to send positive things home from the school, and it's good to have the students have positive connections with the office as well. So it's not just the place we get in trouble. and it's done well. We have some students who have had challenges in the past, and they've gotten a few positive office referrals, and they just come in beaming, and they're just excited to have that positive recognition. We welcomed our kindergarten teacher back this week. She added a son to her family on the last day of January. It was a couple weeks early, a little surprising for her. So we're glad to have her back with us. Her students are thrilled to have her there too. They enjoy Mrs. Weber. As was noted, we're excited to welcome Danielle Service to our school. I think she'll be a wonderful addition. She's very enthusiastic and excited to be here, and we're excited to have her. And she's filling a custodial position that was open due to the retirement of Maverine Anderson. At the beginning of the year, we talked a little bit about our Marvin and Jesse program, which is kind of character education, talking about good social skills. And we've done a play every month, focusing on peace, being a peacemaker, having self-control, having positive attitudes, how to serve others. Part of what we did for service was we did a food drive, and we donated that to the, we tried to fill our pit with some canned food and other food, and we did a pretty decent job of it. And then we donated that to the food bank. We talked about respect and responsibility and self-confidence, and we have one final skill this year, which is going to be courage, and that will be on May 10th. And for each of these, the teachers have volunteered their time as well. I have been Jesse every time, and Wayne Roberts has kindly been Marvin. But we've rotated through some of the teachers, and some of the students have had some parts too. It's been kind of fun. They each have a song and some lesson plans go with them, and I've walked down the hall and outside, and every once in a while I'll hear them humming or singing a song, so hopefully it's settling in, helping remember those things. And we think that this, in addition to all the academics, it's really important that students have those social skills. This year I had the opportunity to participate in the STEM administrator, the STEM Academy for Administrators with two other principals in the district, and what that consisted of was meeting several times with principals from all over the state and our representatives from the STEM Action Center, the Utah Board of Education, and a variety of teachers and schools, and we visited about what makes a good STEM school, what are things that you can do at any level to get things started. We visited a couple of schools that have really strong STEM programs and are able to build that science, technology, engineering, and mathematics into their weekly thing. And so it was very educational. It was kind of inspiring to see where some of them are at and gave us a few goals to work for. We, along the same lines of STEM, we've had several teachers who've incorporated a lot of STEM activities into their science teaching and their math teaching. And there's been some fun things. The other day they had to create two-axled wind-movable vehicles, and they had a little race in the gym to see who could blow theirs the furthest, and it was quite fun. They had straws and lifesavers, and they were all given the same basis, and they had to create new things. It was pretty fun to watch them do it. We've taken advantage of some of the Makey kits that are available through the Service Center Price. And we've had Nathan Wilson come over and give some instruction on that to the teachers. We had some today where they were using celery and bananas to power different things. And so they were really quite excited about that. And they are able to use our iPads and our Chromebooks in conjunction with those. So we've been glad to have those. Our librarian has also added some makerspace and some STEM activities to the library time. So today they were in there making gears and trying to see how tall they could make the tower and still have the gears go around. And and a lot of different activities. So it's been a good experience for our kids. I was also able to participate along with other district administrators in a blended learning course this year that all of us took, and it went throughout the year. So blending technology, as the superintendent said, with traditional teaching and finding ways to get instruction to kids in ways that they'll understand and in ways that will help them be successful. We've been grateful to have the opportunities for our PLCs to have those days that we have to meet not only within school but within other grade levels to narrow down what standards are the most important and how we can help our grade levels and our students be successful. We know that as we continue with those, it'll be even more helpful to us. We have all of our fun competitions from checkers to chess to speed stacking, in which the reigning gold medal winner, Mr. Prettyman, was dethroned by Mrs. Lake, so I'm sure there'll probably be another rematch. But it's pretty fun for that. And then we've just got a busy schedule going on in May. Tomorrow we have a carnival with a weather permitting. We have a spring carnival that the PTO is putting on. On Friday we're going to have a lockdown drill. So if you drive by and there are a lot of cars here in the afternoon, there's not a real emergency. We're just practicing. But we appreciate having the opportunity to teach our kids what to do in an emergency and to let them know who the safe people are and how to react. We have several programs and activities. Second and third grade are doing programs. Our second grade will be doing a market day. Fifth grade will be doing their kind of sort of graduation program with their advancement program with their parents and students. We have a reading incentive reward activity, a whole bunch of field trips. We've got track and field day, our swim day at the Aquatic Center, and our second annual staff versus fifth grade softball game on the last student day of school. So if any of you would like to come and be a part of the staff, fifth grade kind of skunked us last year, so we're hoping that maybe we'll redeem ourselves. So come on by on the last school day for students, and you'll see us again, or at least have fun. And then we just appreciate the hard work and effort that all of our teachers, staff, volunteers, parents, and students have put into our school year.
Thank you so much for your report. We appreciate all that you do and giving a positive place for students to achieve. And thank Sister Mrs. Bott in the back for all that she does since she's here, and appreciate the positive things that you do in the school and for all of your staff. Will you pass that on to them? We do appreciate
the hard work. We have faculty meeting in the morning, so I'll let them know.
And you made it through SAGE testing?
Yeah. We're still finishing up.
You're still finishing up. Well, that's a big thing to get finished, isn't it? Anybody else? Well, thank you again. Superintendent's report.
Yes, on the school board bulletin under staffing, just an update. We, in our last meeting, Ralph gave a presentation on potential for all-day kindergarten. And subsequent to that, did some extensive research and surveying with favorable results. Making contact with EEA leadership, talking to principals and to faculty members in the elementary. And also researching ways to make that work without additional cost to the school district and without any serious disruption of placement. Or financial stress, or having to lay anybody off, which Ralph pulled off. I know by his own admission he lost a lot of sleep over this, but we sure appreciate his work, and we found a way to make that all-day kindergarten work, and we're very proud of that. And we will go to full day next year. It will necessitate some splits here at Castledale with third and fourth grade, and also a fourth, fifth grade split at Perrin Elementary next year. The principals are working on that right now, right, Melinda? And they are dedicated to making this all-day kindergarten work in their schools. I've also listed there some transfers for next year. Lindsay Hinkins will transfer from Farron Elementary to Huntington Elementary to teach first grade. Lindy Brady will transfer from Cleveland to Huntington Elementary to teach kindergarten. And Danny Tuttle will go from half-day kindergarten at Huntington Elementary to full-time special ed at Huntington Elementary. And some of that is necessitated just by numbers in those schools. Some of it is because of the all-day kindergarten. But they are all willing to do that and make those transfers. Under good news and recognition, I'd like to take a moment to thank Neil back there. This is his last meeting as EEA president, and he's done a fabulous job, as you all know, being here and representing the membership, more importantly, representing the children of the Embry School District, and the time and dedication that it takes. We see Neil in this meeting, but we know he has a daytime job too, and that often extends to nighttime jobs. So for him to do all of that and still work in the best interest of the membership and of the school district and of the children of Embry School District is praiseworthy. So thanks, Neil, for all you've done, and I'm sure you're not gonna fade into the night just yet, but.
Nope, just find other things to do, but thank you. It's time for new ideas and new blood, and I've got other things that I wanna change and work and make better in my teaching, so that's where I'm headed. So thank you all, you've been wonderful to work with.
Well, thank you, Neil, sincerely, we appreciate it. Have you got one to a person that's chosen to take it over?
It's an election, and so nominations are open until May 7th, and then they'll hold in the election.
Okay,
moving on with a couple of other just noteworthy at this point, not being able to be here just yet, but Lainey Jensen has been named as an academic All-Stater out of Emory High School in girls golf, and we will try and get Lainey and her family at our June meeting. She's kind of getting used to coming to these meetings. She's quite an outstanding student athlete. And then also in our June meeting, we'll do a formal recognition of these employees and our Volunteer of the Year. And they are District Teacher of the Year, Stephanie Roper, who is also the Elementary Teacher of the Year. She is our Title I coordinator at both Farron Elementary and Cottonwood Elementary. Secondary Teacher of the Year, Dale Roundy, science teacher at Green River High School. Classified employee, Carrie Allred, who is the accounts receivable and multi-talented, multi-tasking employee in the business office there, business department. And Volunteer of the Year, Pam Howard, Cottonwood Elementary. She is the PTA president over there. And we did have a chance to go to the schools as an administrative team and present some awards to them. And they were all sincerely surprised and appreciative of that. It was a neat thing to see and to be a part of. So we will bring them all to our June meeting and we can have some fun with them. Okay, moving on. Report as a follow-up to the discussion we had on district music programs last month. Shortly after that, I organized a meeting. It was in effect the district music collaborative team meeting. It included the band and chorus teachers in the district, their principals, and Jed and I were also in that. And it was a frank discussion, and it was specific to those questions that were raised in that meeting. That included declining enrollment in band. From that meeting, there was no specific evidence other than a slight drop in enrollment at San Rafael Middle School for next year, that there is declining interest in band. In fact, quite the contrary, Emory High School programs based on registration for next year are growing. They're getting bigger, not only the size of the classes, but also the course offerings, which was another question raised in the meeting that we had. Several of those additional classes at Emory High are concurrent enrollment classes. So students are having an abundance of opportunity in music if they choose to take advantage of it. Middle school music options and electives. There's not a lot we can do with middle school. I think Jed did a good job of explaining that. We do want to give sixth graders choice, and their choice is band or chorus, but it's a choice. David Bird, chorus teacher at Canyon View and Emory High, was at our meeting, and he expressed his support of giving kids options rather than requiring sixth graders coming in to take band first semester. And I think Jed also made that point in the meeting last month that kids need to have the option and we need to respect what they choose to take. And where there are weaknesses or reasons why students and their parents are not choosing one or the other, then it behooves the instructors of those programs to take a close look at how they're managing their programs and what they can do to entice more students to be part of it. There was an interesting conversation also as part of that. I believe Dave Bird mentioned that, and that was a possibility of doing co-teaching in music rather than offering band or chorus, to offer a music class, have chorus teacher and a band teacher co-teach that and kind of rotate on a daily, weekly, monthly basis so that the students are really taking both at the same time. I thought that was an interesting concept. Another discussion point had addressed the concerns that were raised by some parents in the meeting about the costs and availability of instruments. None of the band instructors felt like that was valid. There may have been an isolated incident here and there, but they are more than willing to provide instruments to any student who is willing to be part of band. They do not want socioeconomic factors to discourage or to prevent anyone who wants to be in band to be in band. And that would include even students who may not qualify for fee waivers. If they want to be there, then they are willing to find ways to work with them. And there was no merit to, I think, the suggestion that the band rooms have an abundance of instruments, but no one's allowed to use them. I think we heard that, but that is not the case. And the last one, the lack of communication throughout the district music department and program, I think is valid. It's due in part to a lot of change that has taken place, movement within the district, new people, some personal issues and family problems and issues have played into that. And there's kind of been a disconnect between those involved in the band program. We have Mr. Felberg retiring. That's not necessarily contributing to the problems that we are experiencing. But the bottom line is it's a unique opportunity to bring all of the main principals involved, not principal as administrator, but the main people involved together to kind of come to center on this, discuss ideas, ways to improve their programs, and work together. And I think Jed emphasized in our meeting that the importance of including our new band teacher, Mrs. Warwood, coming in. And she's bringing in fresh ideas, I'm sure, and her experiences that can really contribute to the growth of these programs. And I think everyone in the room agreed that that is the next best step. You know, let's put any differences philosophically or personally behind us and work for the good of the kids and make these programs the best they can be. So are there any questions about that follow-up? I think everyone felt good by the end of the meeting. Jed, do you want to add anything?
Oh, I thought it was a very positive meeting, so.
Okay.
Good.
And did the any of the parents that were there, that, were they at that meeting also?
There were no parents. This was, they weren't invited. If any would have shown up, I'm sure they didn't know about it, but you know, we wouldn't have kicked them out. It wasn't a private meeting or anything, but it was what really constitutes our music collaborative team. It's the same group generally that meets together when we have PLC days.
And my question that would be then, has this information been told to them at this point, or do they know?
To parents?
Yeah, the parents.
No.
How are we alleviating those parents?
No, but that can be done. We can do that through media, and
I think that would be good.
Okay. One of the topics of discussion had to do with creating parent support groups for these programs, and I think that that would go a long way towards bringing them into it, you know, and sharing really the realities. A lot of the conversation, I think, stemmed from just being misinformed.
Misinformation.
Exactly.
So we do need to get the reality out to them, and I can take that responsibility.
I did notice that Jared sent us an email that said that the program that they said that we could be involved in, that we could get a grant for musical instruments, is something that we've looked into before, but we do not qualify for. So
to be specific, we qualify for the program, and our award amount would be $0.
Okay. So
it's not really worth the point.
Yeah, we better get on that tomorrow, right?
Well, thank you, Jed, for bringing that together and all your work that you've done. That's very helpful when everybody comes together and works through the problem, and we can.
Thanks for applying.
A teacher that's coming from Monticello, where she has been doing a lot of PLC work with remote areas.
Oh,
some
wow.
Of them 200, at least 2 hours away. And so she was excited about the opportunity, and hopefully we can get some things going, more things going with Green River. And so she
great.
Was very excited about the opportunity of coming and helping us to grow. We're very excited about
appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay, in the development, we are beginning the process of writing and amending policies stemming from legislative action, and I've identified these specific areas that we'll be presenting to the board in future meetings. Educator rights, which is a procedure for our teachers to follow to report acts of harassment and bullying against them. Harassment and bullying, this one we have already updated. It was from the 2017 legislative session, but we approved this one last summer, so that one is done. Student assessment and accountability. This will be adjustments to the school grading process as well as the district grading process. And from the 2018 legislative session, reference checks as part of our hiring protocol. Under some circumstances, we will be required to do a reference check on applicants. Special ed, the main change here is that we need to write into our policy that a student that turns a special ed student that turns 22 during the course of the school year will be allowed to finish that school year. In the past, when they turn 22, then their membership has been terminated. Middle school curriculum, there were some changes made in requirements for middle school students, and there was also a provision in the law that allows parents to opt their children out of some of the required classes if they can show mastery of standards in other ways. For example, music lessons, to opt out of band or chorus, something like that. So we need to develop some procedures to accommodate that. And there's also an appeal process that would be included. And a couple of committee updates. Our technology committee met in April. We're currently going through a program review for the 2017-18 school year, the current school year. That should culminate sometime this month before the end of the school year. We have been funded for next year. Our digital teaching and learning grant has been funded. We're making good progress, and then we'll start the budgeting process for next school year in June. And our STEM Ed CTE committee met April 30th. We are advancing CTE pathway courses with USU Eastern, and we are starting a teacher pathway class. It's called TEAL 1010, and Neil has agreed and has been vetted and approved to do that next year. That's a USU Eastern concurrent enrollment class.
So that approval did go through?
Yes, the approval came through today.
Great. I was say, because when we talked on Monday, they were still checking all of his corners.
Can't be too careful.
Especially when Neil's around.
That's right. So, we're thrilled about that. We're also advancing a medical pathway through a Talent Ready grant. We're working with Castleview Hospital and Pinnacle Canyon Academy, and we have some questions about that. We also have some questions about the teacher preparation pathway, and so I am organizing an informational meeting with those involved from Pinnacle and from USU Eastern, so that they can come over and meet with our committee, and we can go through some of the concerns and questions we've got about the grant itself. So two of those grants have been submitted. We won't know if they're approved till June. But it was a very productive meeting. We're moving ahead. The STEM grant that funds our robotics program has just about been finalized. It's not quite submitted, but the budget has been written, and I think Darlene DeBry is working with the STEM Ed people on getting that finalized. So I look forward to that. And I think that's my report.
Great. Okay, do we have any public comments?
Yes, go ahead.
August 9th. Through 11th, Utah State is going to have their Aggie Aviation Camp again. That's took a break last year because they didn't get out in time to properly advertise it. So it's open to students from Carbon and Emory County. The 3-day thing, if students want to come from Green River, they have lodging provided, all the meals provided, a t-shirt, and I will send Sherry a flyer for it too.
Great.
So I don't know if they plan on coming out to Emory School District, but they did come out for the Carbon School District, so that will be at the CAP hangar there. And it's $250, but I looked on the website and then it said $225, so I would go with what the website says, and it does include everything. And for the 3 days, they're going to have it equally separated into 3 parts: drones, maintenance, and flying. So
cyber technology.
No, drones, maintenance, and flying.
Well, they want.
Yeah, so, so.
When is this?
August 9th through 11th, so, yeah, it sounds like a fun time, and anytime you can get to fly and.
Carbon County Airport.
Ages?
To come out, pardon me?
Age?
Ages, it's mostly high school, and it's, he said that he will accept students in the seventh grade if they're, it's quite a rigorous class, so, he would want to kinda make sure that student would, you know, be able to keep up with the class, and so they're trying to get pilots and maintenance, because there's such a shortage of pilots right now, and maintenance in aircraft is gonna see a big retirement here coming really soon, so, I mean, that's just gonna leave the aviation industry without a lot of,
Drones.
Yeah, and drones, so any students who attend that, though, they will get to take a drone home, so that's one, and it will be licensed through the FAA, and everything will be done for that drone, so, yeah, so, I'll try to get the Utah State professor to send out some information to the Emory School District on that, cause it is open to both districts, and.
That'd be great.
If, Carbon High School, bussed out 28 students, and they were there in the hangar, and they went through a class in the hangar there at the Silver River Field Hangar, which she's the commander of, and, the reason they choose us to do that is because they got a hangar available, and they can, take care of them there. But they put them through a whole class on, all kinds of aeronautics, the weather, whatever it is to do with, and drones and all that stuff to get them interested. So it's nice that the Carbon High School did that, and we would like to know if you're interested, if it was possible to set something up. Huntington Airport is available.
You mean as far as classes and?
Just that one time thing that they wanna do. We had the chancellor, well, he's not actually a chancellor, he's the, yeah, acting chancellor, and two professors from USUE. They're, with that class, and then plus the two instructors from Utah State University Aeronautics Board, so. But, Huntington Airport is available, and, if it could be set up for the same thing, they would do it here. They just like.
We have to talk to them. They're all instructors involved in, you know, the end of class, and, yeah, anyway, so. And, Gary, acting chancellor, I can't say his last name.
Stragodon.
There you go, and he said that don't let funding be an issue if students can't afford it. They do have funding available, and so if you cannot afford it, then don't let that stop you.
That opens up another pathway, doesn't it?
It does, and it's.
Yeah, that's great.
It's very good, it'll be a lot of fun.
They have a jet ski.
Yeah, you were talking to him.
But even if it weren't this year, it might be another year at Emory, right?
And last year they didn't have it because they just didn't have enough time to advertise it adequately, so the students that attended last year had to go all the way up to Vernal, so.
Oh, okay.
And they don't have the advantage up there of having the lodging and everything for them, so, yeah, so.
Great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for letting us know about that. That'd be a great opportunity. Any other comments? Well, Niels Hill, thank you for the Lion King play. I think we all just raved and raved about it. Thank you. And any other comments?
Ryan Mon said the best part of the whole play was the free ice cream on Thursday.
Really? That's, well, gotta be honest, right?
That was Cold Stone. They approached us and.
Did they really?
Asked if they, if there was something they could do, and so I said, well, how about giving kids ice cream?
That's great. That was made it a real party.
And Cold Stone was really excited about it. They wanna do it again another time.
Oh, that was fun. Thank you.
But for those of you who were able to make it, thank you for coming. The kids absolutely appreciated the audiences we had, and so did I, but, that made it, a big audience has made it great for those kids. Thank you.
Great production.
It was.
Okay, we do have some negotiation items for closed meetings.
Because the
I move we go into closed meeting for negotiations items.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
You can get a mugshot ball.
Thanks, Ryan.
Mugshot.